Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm Jeff Harris.
And I'm Daniel Christensen.
We're
nerds.
What? Well, we are nerds.
Okay.
And you guys, if you'd heard the sound check we just did, which shall not be repeated.
Again, because we had to do the sound check twice already.
Yeah. Fair warning as we get into this episode. In the nearish future, we might have a slight hiatus as we work some things out.
That is the nicest way I've ever heard somebody put that.
Okay.
It's like, by the way, we might go dark for a little bit. Don't worry. We're still alive. We still like you. We'll still get this thing out. We just got a couple of things we got to pull out.
So. Well, specifically, we record in my tiny office that I share with my wife's craft space in my condo.
I was going to say, the wife's craft space gets top billing, but yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But my wife and I are in the process of buying a house.
Yay!
Terrific. And it's going to be double size and I get my own office.
Even better.
And we've already talked about we're going to do soundproofing in there. We've already mapped out ideas to make it a office so I can do work from home for my day job, but make it more conducive as a recording studio for the podcast. I may also, in the process, upgrade my recording gear.
So, in other words, start saving your egg crates, folks. We're gonna put them up all against the walls.
Yeah,
so.
Probably. But because I am in the midst of a potential move in about a month.
Yep.
And, you know, there's the whole getting the house set up, settling in, and then figuring out how, because I'm moving to a place that involves a ferry ride.
Hey.
How you and I are going to get together to continue this adventure.
And of course we will, because you know what? We're nerds and we're living in the future. So we have the technology.
Yeah. So anyway, with that out of the way, so you had a cons behaving badly story.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, there is that.
And you get to tell it because it's in your hometown.
Twitch. All right. So fun fact, I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. Which currently is home to, well, it used to, up until recently, was Salt Lake Comic Con. Then San Diego started flexing their legal muscles, and it's now FanX. And FanX was actually one of the larger Comic Cons in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because, wow, you put people in a small place and don't give them very many outlets and stuff, they're going to geek the hell out about stuff. So there was FanX, and this year one of the guests was a remarkably twee author by the name of Richard Paul Evans, most famous for writing the book The Christmas Box, you have the insulin pen out, so we might actually need it if I try to recount the actual story of The Christmas Box. Suffice it to say, Anyway, Richard Paul Evans was going to be one of the guests at this Comic-Con. Why? Because he lives in Salt Lake City and he's a Mormon too. And previous times that he had attended at that con, the man was accused of taking inappropriate liberties with some of the other guests. Not guests like attendees, but guests like other authors and stuff like that. They announced that he was coming to FanX. Someone wrote to the con committee saying, "Are you sure that you want the creeper to come back and make him a guest?" And the response from the con boiled down to, "If you don't like it, maybe you should sit this year out."
Okay, so far, shades of AccuCon.
Yes. And then proceeded to say, I'm a very woke individual even before you youngins started with this Me Too stuff. It did not end well. I haven't seen any of the more recent repercussions from it. But suffice to say, that's not really a great way to win friends and influence people.
So, a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still a guest?
I haven't heard one way or the other. Uh-huh. So, Maybe.
Okay. And the convention has yet to happen.
Correct.
All right. So this is a story in flight.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure that FanX is trembling in their feet at the administrations of podcasters saying naughty things about them. However, you know, we'll see. We'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah. But again, it's the... Yeah, when you have the, oh, because my suspicion is we're back to the, but he's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's a local celeb and easy to get.
Exactly.
But if you start ending up with the accusations, and right now is not a good time to be defending somebody like that.
Yeah, no. No, we do not give comfort and solace to abusers. Sorry.
Now, it does turn out that the person who had made accusations against George Takei has recanted.
Okay.
And basically said that he was... The impression I got was he said, well, I was overreacting.
No, where I come from, that's called lying.
That too. But I think that's the soft pedal back of... Oh, this could be it could maybe involve legal issues. I don't want to have to go into court and say this happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, but be that as it may, once you have accusations, you do have to take them seriously.
Yes.
I mean, even if they turn out to be false, you have to take them seriously.
You have to take them seriously, and I don't know, maybe, you know, investigate things.
Yeah.
Try and figure out what's going on.
Because again, you have the AccuCon situation where they were warned.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. And he committed an assault on site. I still don't know how that... I haven't checked recently. I don't even know if AccuCon is still a going concern.
Well, it's concerning. I don't know if it's still going.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that out of the way...
Yes?
Let's move on to happier subjects.
Okay.
Recent movies.
Yay!
Now, hey. In our last episode, I spent, I think, a good 10 minutes making you... experience the backstory of Cable.
Yes.
Although,
yes, you did.
Later in the episode, you proved that you deserved it.
Because I'm a bad, bad boy.
So, in fact, that was the title of the episode.
Yes, I deserved Cable's backstory.
But now, reason I abused you with Cable's backstory was the question, are they going to address it in Deadpool 2?
Okay. Spoiler alert, no, they didn't.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Well, they had the man pain aspect of it. They had the my wife and my child are dead.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not necessarily accurate to the comic book.
Yeah, well,
and which is I don't care.
I was gonna say, since when does that actually concern Ryan Reynolds?
Although they did, the name of his daughter was a shout out.
Okay,
fine, but. But the whole related to Cyclops and Jean Grey and born in the
year 3525.
Yeah, and whatever. No, not even a little bit.
Yep.
I put you through that for nothing.
No. I apparently deserved it.
You
according
deserved
to some people.
But it and again, it's one of those interesting things. It's IMDb actually credited him as Nathan Summers / Cable. At no point did they point out his real name as Nathan Summers.
True.
These aren't spoilers for the movie in any way. In fact, these are things they didn't even bother doing in the movie.
Yeah, these are missed punchlines from the movie. How about that?
So, although things I enjoyed, there were callbacks to the first movie.
Yes.
The opening credits where they're like opening credits but aren't actually crediting anything.
Yes.
Although, interestingly, opening credits reacting to the cold open.
Yes.
Which we won't get into because that's a big spoiler.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. The
lovely fridge you have here in the house.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. So the things I enjoyed. Josh Brolin is a great actor.
Yes.
Part of the humor of his character is he's playing it really straight in this goofball movie.
He is the only straight thing in that movie.
I think Colossus to a certain degree. A lot of the jokes are good.
Go ahead.
Comedically straight.
Yes.
Yeah. There's other. Boy, you know, in the comics, Deadpool is pansexual.
Yep. Yes.
And people were like, in the first movie, well, that didn't come through in the first movie. Yeah, that's not a problem in this movie.
Yeah, no.
No, it's there. It's absolutely there.
Check, please.
Which is fine, because they do it while keeping the humor.
Yeah.
It's just they don't shy from that aspect of the character this time.
That is the only way that Deadpool and Shy will ever be used in the same sentence.
True.
Just so we're clear.
But again, fun movie. I'm blanking on the actress's name. I had it this morning. Domino.
Oh, yes.
Daniel is consulting Dr. Internet.
Allow me to just look at the internet in my pants.
But actually, the whole introduction of X-Force, the way they deal with X-Force, definitely a spoiler. But let's just say that most of the team appears, and then there's reasons why they don't show up in a lot of the movie.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Doors are open for
Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz. So she hasn't actually done a lot yet, no. But I think she will now.
Oh, yes.
No. She really kind of owns a lot, most of her scenes.
Yes.
And in all the shenanigans going on, the ability to do that is quite impressive.
I was going to say, to be able to steal camera time from Ryan Reynolds is saying something.
Yeah. So, I expect more from her. So that was, again, it was a fun movie.
Yes.
It was, if you liked the first Deadpool, you will like Deadpool 2.
Yes. It covers new ground. It is as irreverent, if not slightly more so, than the original. It's also, well, let's just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
As a bit of a clutch shift, only in front of Deadpool will you see trailers for Bohemian Rhapsody, the Freddie Mercury biopic, and The Happy Time Murders, which is an R-rated Red Band trailer of Muppets and humans together. That's actually directed by Brian Henson, a.k.a. Jim Henson's son.
And yet got sued by Sesame Street.
And the judge came back.
Yeah?
Yes. If you have a moment, and there are no children in the room, look up the trailer for Happy Time Murders. Enjoy it, laugh your ass off, get some brain bleach, and then come back. And at the very end, as part of the trailer, they specifically say, "No sesame, all street," to mean it's a grown-up movie. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with more adult themes. Sesame Street, the kids' show, took Happy Time Murders to court, saying that they were infringing on their trademark because people might be confused because Puppets, some are helping people, some are, they're being very nice to people.
And what did the judge say?
The judge said, because they specifically say no sesame, that covers them. That says, we are not Sesame Street.
All right.
That's why you'll see a string of shall we say, parody movies that specifically say, not this.
Right.
Because that's exactly what they're doing. We are saying, we are not Sesame Street. But
fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway.
But there was this other movie.
There was?
There was. We saw it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably the same evening, even. But, yeah. You mean Solo.
I do mean Solo.
You mean Squee.
So, here's the thing. Okay, before we get into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
A while back, we talked about expectations and movies.
Yes.
And how you can have a perfectly fine movie, but if the expectations have been mishandled, a movie that is realistically doing well can be looked upon as not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So Solo, I think, made about $100 million over the weekend and is being considered a bomb.
Which is silly.
But it's because, well, it's a Star Wars film. It's an out story. It's one of the anthologies. Yes, it is getting into the background of one of the key characters in the mythos.
Yes.
Actually, two of the key characters. Three! Ooh,
well key, played, sir. Well
key
played.
Key characters of the mythos. Four, if you count the Millennium Falcon.
Five, if you... No, anyway, go.
So, five, if you count the cameo that confused people.
Exactly.
But the... again, it's an expectation game. Oh, it's a Star Wars movie. It didn't do that great. It's like, okay, here are two factors I would put out.
Yeah.
First, it is the final May release after a very busy movie season where most people are going, you know what? I have spent a lot of money this month on movies.
Yes. Dear heavens, yes.
You know, I honestly, had I not had my movie pass, there might have been questions because, yeah, it gets expensive. But... So there's, I think, also fatigue. And, frankly, people are saying, oh, well, we don't know about the Solo movie. But
well, because, I mean, it was haunted by the first two directors that they bumped out.
Although my understanding, you know, the thing is, when I found out why they fired those two directors, I was like, yeah, it's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
You know, you have a Lawrence Kasdan script, and then you're letting your actors improv.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, and I understand why Kasdan got upset. And
yes.
When you're Lawrence Kasdan.
You can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, $115 million as of this recording. Which is nothing to shake a stick
no,
at.
No, and it'll certainly make its money back. Why? It's Star Wars.
Yeah. And frankly, you know, yes, technically it is, it, you know, yeah. Suffice to say. I am with you as far as the box office fatigue, because, you know, I don't get out much. We've talked about this at length before. The only reason I managed to see Deadpool 2 and Solo in the same weekend is because it's my birthday.
And, which, by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I sent you our traditional birthday greeting.
Yes, yes. Voltaire's Happy Birthday, My Old Friend, emphasis on old.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with it, just go to YouTube, Voltaire, Happy Birthday, My Old Friend. You're welcome.
Yes. You'll thank me for Happy Time Warriors more, though, I'll bet you. No, I mean, the thing of it is, okay, we've discussed this before. I am an old school Star Wars nerd. I cut my teeth on them very early age, very impressionable. I will see every single one of them until I die.
Yeah.
Or until they really, really, really mess things up.
You survived the prequels.
I survived the prequels, so that lets you know exactly how low that bar is, or how high that bar is, depending on how you want to look at it. But it was a wonderful movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. It was enjoyable. It hit all those points when we were talking about as far as expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, it opens its own set of questions, aside from the cameo that we won't get into. I mean, the burning question that I have in my mind is, so looking at the peripheral stories.
Yeah.
Rogue One, while wonderful, existed to explain how the Empire managed to build this gigantic honkin' thing with this glaring problem in the middle of it.
Yeah.
This Solo, among other things, explains how Han Solo managed to do the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs when parsec is a measure of distance, not of time.
Yeah.
So the burning question in my mind is there going to be a peripheral story, Star Wars story, that doesn't exist just to retcon George Lucas's sloppy script writing?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think part of what's going on is the writers had the challenge of, can we make this whole make sense?
Yes.
I mean, Rogue One took one of the greatest plot holes of all time.
Yes.
And went, ha, we can build a great movie around fixing that gaffe.
Yes.
And they did, and they fixed it beautifully.
Yes.
In Solo, I don't think the entire movie was built around fixing the parsec gap.
No.
But it was hey, by the way, we have an opportunity.
Yes.
Let's take it. Also, there was so much of the important mythos that had to be established. And they haven't covered everything.
No.
And I know they've signed the actors to a 3-movie deal. I do know, again, and I always, you know, this is terrible. It doesn't matter, I could be, unless I'm looking directly at it, I can never remember the name of the actor playing Han Solo.
Aaron Reich.
Right. Just, I don't know why, that doesn't stick in my brain.
The only reason it sticks in my head is because there's an author of the same name.
Ah. So, he did great as young Han. He had the swagger, and very much made you believe this is a younger version of that character.
Yeah, because for all intents and purposes, there was, what, approximately 10 years in between the end of Solo and the beginning of New Hope, correct?
Correct.
So, yeah, you can see the seed of who he becomes in so many ways, including ways that I can't and won't get into. Suffice to say, fans of the original version of Star Wars will be very happy with how certain things are resolved.
They certainly are.
And I don't just mean Han Solo's vest.
So. Yeah, well, so here's the other thing. We talked before about how much we were looking forward to Donald Glover
and
Lando Calrissian.
Yes!
And apparently we had no idea what we were in for.
That man stole every scene he was in and a few that he wasn't.
So all I know is we're walking out of the theater and I turn to my wife, Larissa, and I go, honey, I love you. And I will always identify as a straight man, but I do think my sexuality is now Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian.
Yes! I am not going to argue with you one second. That man was just smooth as any one of his capes.
Yeah,
he was wonderful.
Yeah, and it was, there was a moment when he's talking and I just had to take him. Did they dub Billy Dee Williams over him? No, Donald Glover's just that good.
Yeah, he is that good. He shows up on a Colt 45 ad, I'm going to have words with his agent. But otherwise, I mean, he has got it. He nailed it. He walked in, swept that role off of its feet, and he will probably call it later.
Yeah. So, that was just fantastic. The other thing that was really interesting was how this movie took advantage of an opportunity to take aspects of the Star Wars expanded universe that were in limbo and draw them in. And what it's done is it is canonized. So the great cameo that we will not talk about actually solidifies and ties into the Star Wars cartoons, particularly Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
There are a group of pirates in the movie who are significant characters.
Yes.
Who were introduced in the late 70s, early 80s Star Wars comic produced by Marvel.
Which is pretty impressive callback, if you ask me.
And there are a couple of humor characters from the Star Wars universe and some parody stuff called Tag and Bink.
Okay.
They appear, for people looking for them, in the sequence where Han first meets Chewie, they are the other two characters involved in the scene.
Okay. You know, I'm impressed at your deft ability to tap dance through this particular minefield. Well done, sir.
So, you know, alpha nerd powers.
And indeed.
And there's just, I mean, because what they need to do, they needed to establish Han's basic backstory and credentials.
Done.
They needed to establish the Han and Chewie relationship.
Done.
They had to establish the Han and Lando relationship.
The Han and Lando.
You know, that was... Because, again, you know where that comes from.
Yeah.
With Billy Dee Williams mispronounced.
Exactly.
And they've just made it that's just how he needles him.
Yep.
Just perfectly. Again, a little... Let's fix something.
Exactly.
And also, I think that if it wasn't in the script, that Glover would have insisted.
Exactly.
Also, the Millennium Falcon itself.
The Millennium Falcon itself. Frankly, some of the internal and external modifications that have been done to the Millennium Falcon. It's just one thing after another after... Hell, Chewbacca playing chess.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of the little tidbits from the original series do you have in this movie? I mean...
Yeah. Also, I was watching it thinking, it's kind of interesting, considering how Woody Harrelson's career began, and kind of what its middle portion was like, where he is now kind of hit that respected older actor phase of his career, where you see him and it's like, wow, that's just good casting.
Yeah. From the bartender, the other bartender on Cheers, through Zombieland, to this. And it's like, all right.
Yeah. And it's, and again, for what his character needed to do, perfect casting.
Exactly.
If I had a complaint, is I would have liked to have seen Tandy Newton in the movie a little bit more.
I would have enjoyed seeing her in the movie a little bit more. And there are opportunities for other people that were in that to continue to shine.
Yeah.
The part that threw me for the biggest loop was, it's one of those things where in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And part two is you throw somebody's voice through a synthesizer and it's going to come out differently. But it took me until I had to wait for the credits to make certain, because the woman who does the voice for Lando's robot friend, L3, and for those of you who are the real nerds, L337, Leet, I was very surprised to find out that wasn't Gwendolyn Christie. Because it sounds exactly like her.
Yeah. I was... So, the other member of the crew that Han first meets, the guy with multiple arms.
Oh, yeah?
I was convinced, part with the movie, is that Patton Oswalt? Turns out, no, it's Jon Favreau.
Close.
Close.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was I recognize that voice.
Yeah.
Was part of it. And sure, Jon Favreau.
Of course,
you know, he gets his moment in the Star Wars universe now.
He gets some work, which is nice. It's nice to see Warwick Davis getting some works, or continuing to still get work in the Star Wars universe
as a callback character, by the way.
Even better.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will absolutely own it when it came out. Larissa, who this was her outside of Leia, then Han, for her. And you know, I think a lot of it is Han is such an important character to her. She was vibrating.
Oh, yeah.
I think the people who are ragging on it, it's the hyper nitpick crowd and the whole, oh, well, Justice League did better.
Dude, I wouldn't, that's not something to be proud of.
You know, and also it's like, you know what? Justice League did better during its entire run. Give it time. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. Let's look it up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Certainly not being dismissed like Justice League was.
Yes. Well.
Although speaking of Justice League, so let's transition slightly away from Solo.
Clutch shift.
There was announced today that looks like the Crow reboot might be in trouble.
Oh no! Not that.
Yeah. No. Double stop. Bar. Come back. Jason Momoa has left the project.
I didn't realize the Crow.
Yeah,
as in
the Brandon Lee.
Yeah. He was Momoa.
Yeah,
the Crow.
Yes.
Why?
Because he loves that movie, and he did.
So do I. I don't want to remake it.
And he did a cosplay of it, and he looked great. But yeah, he's. I haven't read the reasoning why. I just heard today that he had left the project, and so had the director. So that tells me. And there's a lot of people like, do we really? After everything that's happened with that entire franchise, can we let it just
die?
Yeah, we're good.
You know, the original Eric Draven eventually got to die. Let it go, folks.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. So,
you talk for a minute. I need to check something.
Okay. Yeah. I think with other things that are coming up in movies, we've got. You know, you still have the Ant-Man Wasp coming out this year, which will be our last Marvel of the year.
Which is saying something, seeing as, you know, want to talk exhausted.
Yeah, I personally, and I think I talked about this previously, the next movie coming up that I'm probably going to go see, next weekend's going to be a problem for me.
Uh-oh.
Because there's two movies coming out. I want to see both of them. They hit similar themes, and it's like, which one do I want to see? So, the first one is, Hotel Artemis.
Oh, yes.
And that one, it's just got a lot of things I like. Now, you had stated earlier that you had not seen John Wick.
No, the only way I found out about it was that John Wick 2 came out, and I thought it was making fun of something because I'd never noticed that John Wick 1 came out. Then there was the whole idea of the only way to defeat Thanos is to have him accidentally kill John Wick's dog.
Yeah. So, you know, that was... So, Hotel Artemis is taking an idea from John Wick. They have a hotel for criminals in John Wick called the Continental.
Okay.
And the idea is it's a safe haven for criminals. They can go, they can relax. There's rules and enforcements to keep them from being targeted.
But, I mean, that is a recurring thing. Because, I mean, there was the Sanctuary series years ago that was the same.
Yeah. Basic idea. So Hotel Artemis is another iteration of that idea.
Okay.
It's a hotel for criminals. Or not a hotel. It is a hospital for criminals. The cover, it's a hotel.
Uh-huh.
But it's a medical facility for criminals. And it's set in the future.
Okay.
Not the far future, but the near future. And so the premise of this is a criminal who had gotten out of the business but got drawn back in because of family ties. Heist goes wrong. His brother is injured. He happens to, from the old days, have a membership to the Artemis.
Uh-huh.
Brings his brother there, and it turns out they stole something so valuable that a crime lord is willing to break the Hotel Artemis rules to get it back.
Uh-huh.
But the cast...
Jodie Foster is going to be in it, so...
Here's the thing, again, this is, I think I mentioned before, Jodie Foster, she has hit an age now where she's obviously not going to play the young love interest.
No.
But now she has hit the sassy older woman stage of her career.
You mean the kick-butt older woman?
A role that would not be hard to see being played by perhaps... a Kathy Bates, or even a, I'm trying to think who else, if Jessica Lange were going to do a movie like that, she might be. Yeah, so she, it,
oh,
there's
no.
her.
If we're going to do that, let's just put Helen Mirren in it. She could do Red, she can do this.
Yeah. But Sterling K. Brown from Black Panther.
Nice.
And from a TV show, This Is Us, is the lead.
Okay.
But the rest of the cast, the villain is Jeff Goldblum.
You know, every word in that sentence you just said was English, but it doesn't quite... Jeff Goldblum's a bad guy?
He's done it before. You should see Mr. Frost sometime.
I'd rather not. I'd like to think, in my mind, he's still 30 and shirtless in Jurassic Park forever.
Did you not see Thor Ragnarok?
Yes.
So, yeah, you can do a bad guy. You can do a charming bad guy. That's,
I was going to say, that's not really a bad guy, though.
Well, you know, but also it has Dave Bautista.
Yay.
Sophia Botella, who was a gazelle in the original Kingsman. Is
oh, very nice. Okay, yes.
She's actually developing a nice career as the female action star.
Good.
Taking advantage of just the way she can move her body.
Olympic athlete, I would hope so.
Yeah, Charlie Day.
Who?
Charlie Day, he was Newt in the Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh,
the
unless it's Newt from Aliens.
It's one of the scientists from Pacific Rim.
Okay.
And Zachary Quinto.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's a nice cast. It's a great premise. The trailers look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. The other movie opening next weekend.
Yes.
Ocean's 8.
Sorry, dude. You know where I'm going to be.
Yeah. And that's, like I said, that's the problem because...
Well, how about this? We divide and conquer. You go see Hotel Artemis. I'll watch Ocean's 8. We'll swap notes.
Well, my wife is going to have a vote in here.
Yes.
And I think she's... I think
so. We're both going to Ocean's.
We're going to go see Ocean's. Well, we'll see. You know what? I have a movie pass. I might go see both.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Madness.
Yeah. Dogs and cats sleeping together.
Because again, Ocean's 8 is. I love how, hey, let's see what else we can do with this formula.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's they're doing the basics. Let's do the heist premise, and let's get a whole bunch of really talented performers together and give them enough script for them to be charming at. And again, you know, I mean, where do you even start? I mean, Cate Blanchett, as who is, I feel, doing the Brad Pitt-esque role.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Sandra Bullock.
Bullock as Danny Ocean's sister.
Yes.
Rihanna as the tech geek. Helena Bonham Carter. Anne Hathaway as the antagonist. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was like, I love all of these actresses. They're all going to be in this movie together. If it's got any of the charm of the Ocean, rest of the Ocean series, sure, take my movie pass money.
Yes. So the burning question that I have in my mind, as far as this movie is concerned. So let us recap. There has been at least two movies off the top of my head, possibly more, but you know, now that it's been my birthday, I'm getting a little older and my memory's not what it used to be. I have not heard as much fan tears over the all-woman cast of Ocean 8 than I have compared to the all-woman cast of Ghostbusters or the other things that have been redone in a similar vein.
Well, I think part of that, the only thing I can think of that maybe is that this is not a reboot. It's a sequel.
Okay.
It is a movie taking place in the... So in other words, this is not a female Danny Ocean.
Right.
It is even explicitly said, oh, this is Danny's sister.
Right.
So that means Danny is out there somewhere, and we could even conceivably in the future, oh, please, have the team-up movie.
Which wouldn't be bad. And if frankly, if Clooney doesn't at least make a cameo in this, I'd be surprised. Yeah. But have we considered the possibility that it's a more mainstream movie and it's not subject to...
It's not as geek culture?
It's not subject to nerd rage the way that...
Maybe, but I think also... I think there's also the... At this point... Hollywood is beginning to realize, oh, hey, there's money in them, Thar Hills.
Yes, sir.
I mean, between the other female-led movies, you know, have you know, as they become more and more successful. Let's put it this way. These are building off of the momentum Fury Road started.
And can we all agree that it had a hell of a lot of momentum?
Yeah. And at this point, I think it's just become, oh, it's an all-female cast doing this kind of stuff. Sure. We're getting past that, just like Black Panther has opened the door for, it doesn't need to be white dudes. It's what we're hitting. We're hitting the, it doesn't have to be white dudes, because I'm even looking at Hotel Artemis, and the leads are an African-American actor and an older white woman.
Yes.
Are our main characters, and the other major, the one full-on white guy in the movie is the villain, and even, you know, Bautista is Filipino.
Hey, of course.
You know, so
he's green in my mind. So,
yeah.
You know.
So yeah. But it's we're getting to the point where Hollywood is just like, apparently we just make good movies and people will come, and if there's representation, all the better.
Yes.
So, before we move off of movies, I want to share one last thing.
Go right ahead.
This was horror movie night.
Yes.
I always like.
Hi, Jim.
Well, first off, it's interesting. This weekend, we are watching Fury Road.
Awesome. And, as a horror movie?
Well, we're watching it because it is the anniversary of Jim and Jen's first date, and they went and saw Fury Road.
Aww.
And now that they're engaged.
Aww.
So we are watching Fury Road in honor of that.
Aww.
So it'll be a very sweet action movie. But no, a couple of weeks ago, we were coming together for horror movie night. And various things had beat many of us up, and we all kind of collectively went, we don't want to watch a horror movie tonight. We want to watch something fun. And Jim's like, I have no idea what to show. It's like, you know, there's an old movie that I love that I even have. It's infected my catchphrases. And I picked up an old catchphrase from it, cheese and crackers, instead of saying Jesus Christ. Cheese and crackers.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, Jim, let's watch Oscar. And Jim's like, I love Oscar. So we watched Oscar. Are you familiar with Oscar?
Not in the least.
All right. Oscar is a 1991 movie.
Okay.
It is literally an old-fashioned screwball comedy based on a stage play that's an old-fashioned screwball comedy about a gangster who is because of a deathbed request from his father, trying to go legit. And it's the day he's going to join the board of directors at a bank and become legit. And he finds out, and many things happen that make it screwball crazy, including a lost bag of $50 million worth of jewelry and a and things involving his daughter and suitors. It stars Sylvester Stallone.
Ah, that's why. Okay, yes.
And it was Sylvester Stallone's attempt to, a first real attempt to do more than action comedy. Now, at the time, it was a bomb because people, A, weren't ready for Stallone being funny. And
dude, it's 2018. I'm not ready for Sylvester Stallone to be funny now.
And it was such a throwback to an older style of movie. Including, it had a lot of old school character actors. I mean, Don Ameche was in it. His father was played by Kirk Douglas. One of the main cast members was Tim Curry. You had, first time I ever saw Chaz Palminteri was in this movie.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, it was just this great, but it is a fun, charming little movie. And frankly, I watch it and he's like, you know what? It's a shame it bombed because Stallone actually handled himself in the comedy environment, I feel, very well.
Oh, you also skim over the fact that it's a John Landis film.
And it's a John Landis film! It had so much going for it. And the final result is actually a lot of fun. Just no one saw it. I saw it in the theater. I bonded with this movie.
Well, A, it was...
I have a copy.
I have no doubt in my mind. In my own defense, it was 1991. I spent 1991 in boot camp and on a small island in Alaska.
Yeah, you probably didn't have a lot of choices.
Didn't get out much.
All I'm saying is this is a real charmer of a movie. It's... Yeah, and it's set in the 30s. Mm-hmm. Because, again, gangster era.
Yeah.
But it's got just a great cast. It's got all the screwball sensibilities. And any scene where you're having Sylvester Stallone playing off either Chaz Palminteri or Tim Curry.
Well, Tim Curry, and I'm there, so, and you know.
Marisa Tomei played his daughter.
That gives you an idea of how long ago that was. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I just, as a throwback to movies past, I would say, yeah, is it truly geek culture? Not really. But as a movie I would recommend people go see, just as a odd artifact that is, I think, unjustly forgotten.
Yeah. Because frankly, the only thing that I remember of Sylvester Stallone from that era is Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean... It's even dated now simply because they make a Jeffrey Dahmer joke in it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Dug it up.
To TV.
All you.
I think the best news we got recently was, so we had the cancellation bloodbath.
Yes.
Which happens every year, but this year seemed to be particularly brutal.
Yes. And yet.
So, of course you had the very brief cancellation of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Which managed to resurrect itself.
What? Within 24 hours.
Yep.
Beat Jesus' record by 2 days. Yeah, I know.
Shots fired, dude.
I have no sense of blasphemy.
Blasphemy, blasphemy.
But The Expanse was another one that people were like, no! There's so much more. It's just getting really good. But, so I've never watched The Expanse on Sci-Fi.
Oh, dude.
I've always watched it when it comes onto Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep watching it on Amazon Prime because Amazon Prime said, we'll pick it up.
Yep. They know what side their bread is buttered on.
Well, they've been saying for a while they wanted to have a signature sci-fi series. Well, and why not grab one with a built-in audience?
Built-in audience, and frankly, I heard Bezos was a fan, so I mean, it works out.
So the next great resurrection. I'm still holding out hopes. I know it's pointless that somebody will save Lucifer. I think I'm just going to have to accept that day is done.
Well, I was going to say that you already went for the blasphemous route with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so saving Lucifer right out.
Yeah, I know. I always find it interesting. Lucifer always opens with a disclaimer that, you know, some scenes might be inappropriate. And literally, the only reason they put that is it's a show where the hero is the devil.
Yeah, well.
So, which some people find, I'm sure, again, I...
These are folks, people that don't watch television.
Shock. I was not raised Christian. I've never really followed Christianity, other than I acknowledge its dominance in our culture, which leaves me at this odd point of not having a great sense of what would be considered blasphemous.
Yeah.
Well, I understand on a cultural level.
Yes.
What would be, but I don't have an innate sense of blasphemy.
Yeah. You go, but you do the same thing I do, which is you judge by the social vacuum that's caused,
mm-hmm.
by how many millibars drop in pressure when you say a bad joke and everyone goes all at the same time.
Actually, my digression, but we're in a digressive night. Did I ever tell you the story about the time in Vegas where I first learned I don't have a good blasphemy filter?
Go for it.
All right. So I was in Las Vegas with our friend Genevieve on this trip. And interestingly, on these two group trips to Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
I think... both of them involved Genevieve? I think they both might have involved Genevieve. I don't know how that happened. The second one did not involve Genevieve. I'm sorry. But the point being...
including the one involving Shelby in a mechanical bull, but hey, go
that
on.
That was a different... No, so I was in Las Vegas with our friend Genevieve.
Yes. Hi, G.
And we were in Caesar's Palace.
Okay.
And there is an F.A.O. Schwartz in Caesar's Palace.
Yes.
And they...
Well, there was.
They had themed displays for the toys that were also tying into the Caesar's Palace theme.
Okay.
And there was a diorama of teddy bears building a temple. And they were animatronic. So they were...
Okay.
And there was... at one point, there was a teddy bear... carrying a plank of wood over its shoulder, obviously just for construction.
Uh-huh.
But the next scene over was a phalanx of teddy bear Roman soldiers, and there was a monkey with a whip. And I looked at G, and I said, hey, look, G, the teddy bear Roman soldiers are off to crucify teddy bear Jesus. And then I heard the audible gasp behind me. This was not from Genevieve.
No.
But the blue-haired old woman behind me?
Uh-huh.
I turned, I looked at her, bug-eyed. I'm bug-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I have no sense of blasphemy.
Did you get a response out of her?
I will be praying for you
uh-huh.
kind of way, yeah. So, for those of you that I have offended, I'm sorry, but you may have gotten an insight into my brain.
Well, if it's only fair, so we're going to... Two roads diverged, and I took uh-huh. the road less traveled by. The short version is... You said a particular phrase that I love.
Yeah.
Blue hair.
Sure.
Okay. Put that in the back of your member banks for a second.
This is going to be a fun episode to write show notes for.
Indeed. What's his bucket?
Going to have to give me more.
I know. Give me a second. William Gibson wrote a book called, he was basically the godfather of cyberpunk. Can we sure. agree upon this?
We can agree upon this.
Okay.
It is canon.
Well, it is so Khaleesi. He starts a book by saying the particular phrase, the sky above the port looked like was the color of a television station turned to a dead channel.
The Neuromancer.
Yes. When that book was written, that meant gray.
Right, because we knew what a dead channel looked like back then.
These days, some new kid picks up that book, reads that station, that sentence, the color of a television turned to a dead channel, they're going to think brilliant cerulean blue.
Yeah.
So, that's part one. Part two is, you said you shocked the sensibilities of a blue hair. What does the blue hair mean?
It was just, it was how you described somebody with gray hair.
Right. Someone who is old, maybe 70 plus, right?
Right.
These days, a blue hair is someone under 30.
Good point. Well, not necessarily. My wife's over 30 and she's got many interesting colors.
I was rounding down.
Sure.
So, younger people.
Right.
So, that's the amusing part. Hey. Part two, and you can edit this one out. You were talking about what we were doing in 1991?
Oh, God.
And I don't know about 1991, but in 1992, I was still on that same little island in Adak, Alaska. Look it up on a map when you're really, really bored someday. And we were so excited because the new movie coming out at the movie theater that Friday was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Wow. We watched it a couple years ago for Jill's birthday.
Yep. Just campy as all get out, ain't it?
It was weird watching again after all those years and going, oh.
Yes.
And Jill's like, wee!
Of course. I'm still like wee because I still think it's an enjoyable movie. But here's the thing. So many of our group was so excited to go see this movie. It was my D&D group in the Navy.
Sure.
And we're getting ready to go. And my best friend's roommate says, what are you going to go see? And we say, Dracula. She says, cool, what's it about? And there was this, it's Dracula? She's like, yeah, what's it about? We're like, you've never heard of Dracula before. And the English major in me is winding up this head of steam to just eviscerate this person for never having heard of one of the most classic horror stories in the English language. And before any word could come out of my mouth, my best friend looks over and she says, it's a love story. Completely straight-faced. Completely zero and anything. She just said, oh, it's a love story. To which her roommate said, oh, great. Comes with us. Stands in line. We buy our huge tub of popcorn and our sodas. And we sit down in the second row center of the movie theater. And she proceeds to curl into the fetal position and crawl underneath the seat. But to this day, anytime you put me in an awkward situation and I don't know what to say, the words that come out of my mouth, it's a love story.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and that's, you see, I have so many questions.
Yes.
Because Dracula isn't just it's part of the cultural zeitgeist.
You would think.
You know, it's one of those things of there are certain things that are so embedded in culture.
Yes.
That how did you, when they become... When you say it's there are certain things, if you say it, it comes with a whole weight. I wrote a whole article when I reviewed the 1931 Frankenstein.
Yes.
About how there, when you say these things, certain images come flooding in.
Yes.
And Dracula is synonymous with vampire.
Yes.
And like you said, it is one of the cornerstone pieces of English literature.
Yes.
So it makes you wonder, what was your upbringing that you completely missed this significant part of Western culture?
The big town in her area was Missoula, Montana.
I still don't accept that as missing that level of culture.
You'd be surprised.
All right. But yeah, it's you know, it's when you hear certain things, it's like even people who haven't seen or read certain things, you know, people who... Now, act shocked. I've actually read Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Of course. I would be surprised if you hadn't.
And so I'm always judging any Dracula movie on where it diverges from the text.
Hey.
And when things get closer to the text. And at the time, it's like, oh, this is the closest I've ever seen to the text. It was still kind of off.
Oh, yeah.
English
major. I had to read the book 3 times in 2 semesters, so...
I mean, also, I was so excited. One of the things that excited me about Penny Dreadful was the first depiction ever of Frankenstein's monster as he's mostly as he's depicted in the novel.
Yes!
Including matching his physical description.
Yes!
Because, again, these are... that's the digression from... It just, again, it's like you've never heard of Bugs Bunny or you've never heard of Batman.
You would be surprised, but suffice to say, there is no doubt in my mind that this woman now knows what Dracula is.
Well, yeah, maybe not the best iteration of Dracula.
That's all she ever needs to know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes.
I'm going to have fun sharing this story with Jill this weekend at dinner. She'll be offended.
Hey, I look forward to it. I would love to hear the report, the Jilly report on this.
So as we've digressed, I think part of the reason we've had this great digression is, outside of this, there's not been a lot else going on in geek culture that I would really point to. I mean,
TV,
TV other than the cancellations has pretty much wound down. The only question is, why the heck the Arrowverse is bringing in Batwoman next season for the crossover.
Yep.
And how.
I mean, frankly, at this point, we can maybe start to to circle up. And I will leave you with one very fun thing so we can hit on comics real quick.
Okay.
For my birthday, a friend of mine got the little bound edition of, Deadpool Does Shakespeare.
Wow, we're bringing it full circle in this episode.
Yes. All right. I thought you might appreciate it.
Oh, Deadpool Does Shakespeare.
Does Shakespeare.
As opposed, because I know they did a whole thing on Deadpool classics.
Yeah, no, this is specifically just the Shakespeare, Shakespeare episodes. But the whole shtick, for lack of a better term, is that it's taking place over Valentine's.
Uh-huh.
At the time, Deadpool was dating a demon.
Okay.
And the demon is having a hard time wrapping her brain around the idea of Valentine's. So she's on her way to meet up with Deadpool, and
Yeah.
And she says to her driver, she said, do humans have holidays for all their emotions? I mean, do they have a holiday for the people that they hate? And the driver just said, yes, it's called Thanksgiving. At which point, I fell off my chair.
As you would. So. Boy, that's an idea I'd like to play on. What holidays, Halloween, fear.
Yes.
Valentine's Day, love.
Halloween, lust. Oh, sorry,
no,
what?
No, that's May Day.
Oh, okay.
First of May. We're not going to sing the rest of the song because we've
already used our swear word for the episode.
I'm trying to think, what would be greed? Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Christmas would be greed, because, again, I'm going to go there. And
vanity is what? 4th of July?
Sure, why not?
Anyway, we'll edit that part out.
At this point, I'm pretty sure we'll get one more episode in before I move.
Good.
Which, this is episode 68.
Oh, so?
I expect all kinds of shenanigans next time. I will be disappointed otherwise.
You know what the square root of 69 is?
What?
8 something.
Yeah.
There's no more Cable backstory. I'm safe.
Oh.
My sweet summer child.
Is that a challenge?
No.
I will find. There is so much more X-Men lore.
Oh, that is what for Jay and Miles are for.
Yes. But it's like, I'm that level comic nerd.
Yes, you are. I have no doubt in my mind.
Some point out, Legions of Superheroes. Anyway, with that said, if you would like to drop Daniel and I a line.
If you're still listening.
We can be reached at fanboynewsnetwork.com. Just leave us a comment in the show notes section. We will return in the nearest future. And until then, everyone take care. And please find it in your hearts to forgive us.
Have a good time, y'all.
This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2018 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from the Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.